5. Hebrews chapter 5. I've had something on my mind for weeks, and the Lord finally allowed us to take to this spot in the Bible and to bring this message. This is something we all need. Every Christian needs, but be honest with you, few Christians have. And that's discernment. I want to preach a little. If I was going to title it, I'd title it Seeing Clearly in a Blurry World. If you would, let's stand. I'm going to read one verse and then we'll pray, and then I got a couple other verses and hopefully you'll mark these in your Bible. These are verses that you know, you've heard, and you've read them. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Let's pray. God, we love you. We come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you for the songs, for the sweet spirit, Lord, we can feel in our church and in your presence, God. God, help us right now as I do my best to preach this, Lord. I pray, God, you'd speak to everybody in this building. God, everybody in this building, we need more of this that we're going to preach on tonight. God, I do. We all do. Thank you for all you do. Thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. You know, you come to church and sometimes you think that you come to church and you're doing good. You're doing good. Somebody said one time, said, you know, when I got saved, said, I started going to church and I thought I was doing good, and come to church and Preacher Tim preach and I figure out just how sorry I am. Last night was one of those nights at Masters. Me and Mike come in, and Mike spoke last night for our Masters men, did a fantastic job, jumped all over me with both feet. I had to ask for forgiveness, amen. So we're none of us are where we ought to be. You can always get a little closer to God, amen. Now, the Bible tells us in John chapter, 1 John chapter 1, 4, verse 1 says this, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Romans chapter 12, scripture that most of us can recite. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So what is discernment? Well, Webster defines it as this, the ability to judge well. The ability to judge well, and basically that is pretty much the same definition of the word discern in the Hebrew right here. In the Greek, is to judge well or to be able to differentiate between the spirits. Discernment is not about being suspicious of everything. Discernment is about being trained by the Word of God to see what is from God and what's from everything else. Have you ever been in a situation where somebody was trying to tell you scripture, or somebody was trying to tell you about something in church, and there was a light going off in your mind saying, that ain't right? Anybody ever been in that? That's discernment. That's what happens when you're raised in church and you go to church and you study the Word, and I'll get into some of this, but that is discernment. You know, when people try to tell you, the Bible says this, but you know in your mind, Jackie, that that's not what the Bible says. That is discerning both good and evil. So there's some things that we really need to be able to see clearly that I want to just kind of go over just a few things tonight. Number one, we need to be able to discern the strategies of this world. The Bible says, and I read it to you, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and the will of God. The world packages sin as success. We got into a little bit of this last night in the Bible Institute, but the world, Monday night in the Bible, but the world packages sin as success. You know, they package sin as being freedom and sin of self as self-expression. They've changed the names of sin. Listen to some of this. Instead of sin, they want to call it dysfunction. Instead of iniquity, they want to call it a lapse of judgment. Instead of temptation, they're calling it addiction now. Instead of adultery, they want to call it sexual freedom. Instead of pride, they say, well, that's just self-esteem. You know, what we used to call drunks, they want to call alcoholics now, but now they're calling it something else totally different. Now alcoholic is not a good word. I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm just too old-fashioned. Amen. I'm just too old-fashioned. I call it like I see it, amen. It might not be politically correct, but I guarantee you one thing, it's going to be the truth. See, now instead of calling it crime, they want to call it inappropriate behavior. See, the world values what's popular, what's pure. Amen. The world values what's popular, not what's pure. It's popular to follow Hollywood and not follow holiness. Amen. Now it's popular. I don't know. And I just saw this through a commercial thing on YouTube at the Grammys the other night. So I don't even know who this woman was. She looked kind of stupid to me. But she said something about we're all living on stolen land. Did any of y'all see that? I don't know who that idiot was. But now they're coming up and saying, now some tribe's coming up saying she's living on their land. Good enough for you. I hope to kick her off of it, amen? I mean, this is just, see, the world is popularizing all this. You know, now it's better to be woke than to be righteous. No, it ain't. Amen. You need to discern the strategies of the world. You need to discern, you know, what's going on in this world. About like the situation that happened a few years ago, and I don't remember where it was at, about this couple that had a bakery, and this homosexual couple come in, and they wouldn't bake the cake for their wedding, and they sued them, and they had to go out of business. That's the strategies of the world. See, the strategies of the world is they want preachers that's going to come in and not call it like the Bible calls it. That's the strategies of the world. But guess what? The Bible is black and white. There are no gray areas in the Word of God. And that's why you and I need to be able to discern the spirits and to discern the world. The world says if it feels good, do it. Now, you better know better than that. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24 and 25 talks about how Moses had faith and when he come to his years. And then it goes on to say how it is better to enjoy the things of God than to have pleasure in sin for a season. See, the world shows everything as being fun. The world shows all the beer commercials, and they show you all the fun, but they don't show you the DUI, and they don't show you the death that can cause. The world glamorizes adultery and glamorizes sexual sins, but they don't show you all the disease and all the babies that's been aborted, and they don't show you all the things that go along with that. That's the world's strategies, folks. You ever thought about this? A fish never bites the hook. He only bites the bait. He don't see the hook. You see, that's what the world does. They don't show you the hook. They just show you the bait. Let me go ahead and tell you, listen to this. I thought about this, and you might want to write this down. If it don't require repentance, holiness, and submission, it's not from God. Amen. I'm going to say that one more time. If it don't require repentance, and it don't require holiness, and it don't require submission to Christ, it is not from God. So we need to be able to discern the strategies of this world. We need to be, now listen, some of us ain't going to like what I'm getting ready to say now, but we need to be able to discern some things about suffering. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 says this, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you as some as though some strange thing has happened to you." I'll go back to what E.V. Hill said one time. If you study your Bible, you know hard times is coming. So we got to be able to discern it. All suffering is not punishment. Think about that. All suffering is not punishment. You know, some suffering is God preparing us for something that's coming up. Amen. When you think about something, Moses had to go into the wilderness. He stayed at Pharaoh's house 40 years. He was in the wilderness 40 years, and God prepared him in that wilderness to lead the children out. Yes, he suffered. Yes, he had to have some hard times, but God prepared him to lead the children out of bondage. Amen. When you think about Joseph, Joseph had a few good years there at home, and then Joseph was sold into slavery. He had to go, he was thrown in the pit. He had to go through Potiphar's house. He was in prison, but God was molding him, and God was doing something in his life to make him a better leader. He saved his nation. He saved his family. Amen. King David, when he was anointed king, he had a time there, Chucky, that he was not king. He had to run from Saul. He did all those things. But guess what? God was preparing him. Amen. All suffering. Every time I start thinking about stuff like this, my mind goes back to the Revolutionary War when George Washington at Valley Forge with all those soldiers, and a lot of our soldiers died at Valley Forge because of the cold and because of the hardness. But what it did, it hardened the soldiers that were there. While the British troops was across the Delaware River, and they were just laughing it up, and they were partying, and they were eating, and they were sleeping in the warmth, our soldiers were out there getting hardened by the wintertime. And when they come in, they wiped them out. God might be preparing you. Some of the stuff you're going through right now, God might be getting you ready for something that's coming. Have you ever thought about it? God often speaks loudest when it's the darkest time. We all go through hard times. We all go through darkness. See, but discernment in suffering asks this question: is this breaking me or is this building me? Is it breaking me or building me? So we need to have some discernment when we go through hard times. We need to have discernment through the scriptures. Okay? Everything you and I do, listen, everything you and I do needs to be judged by the Bible. If it don't line up with the Bible, it don't line up with God. I've told you this story before. I'll never forget. A guy called me one time. Jackie, you've heard me say this multiple times. He said, "Preacher, I just want to know what your opinion is on drinking." I said, "Well, the Bible says." He said, "I know what the Bible says, but I want to know what your opinion is." I said, but the Word of God." He said, "I know what the Bible says." I said, "Listen, my opinion is what the Bible says, because if my opinion differentiates from the Bible any little bit, my opinion is wrong." Psalms, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, "Study to show thyself approved, a workman unto God, and needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Amen. We need to be able to rightly divide the Bible, because people are going to throw things at you. Listen, if you don't rightly divide the word of truth, then you think Joel Osteen's a good preacher. If you don't rightly divide the word of truth, then you think Kenneth Copeland's a good preacher. And a lot of those other charismatic preachers, that health, wealth, and prosperity and all that other kind of stuff, I'm just telling you, that's why you got to rightly divide the word of truth. Psalms chapter 1, my favorite chapter in the Bible, says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." And when you do that, verse 3 says this, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Amen. So we need to be able to discern. See, the more Bible you have in you, the better you are at discerning things in this world and the things that the world's going to throw at us. The Bible tells us in Psalms 119, verse 14, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. Psalms 119, verse 35, make me to go in the paths of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Psalms 119, verse 92, unless thy law had been my delights, I should have perished in mine afflictions. Your feelings have got to bow to the facts of the Word of God. Amen. We're living in a time where people say stuff like this, well, I feel like that God wants me to do this. Well, I feel like God wants me to be a preacher. Not if you've been married five times. Well, I feel like that God wants me to go there. I feel like God wants me to. No, if it don't line up with the Bible, then it's not going to work. That's why we have to discern. That's why we have to know the Bible. If your feelings goes against the Word of God, it's not right. I'm going to prove it to you by the Word of God. The Bible tells us in Numbers chapter 12. Numbers chapter 12. Some of y'all trying to take notes. I'm going to slow down just a little bit right here. Numbers chapter 12. Verse 1 and 2 says this. The children of Israel have come out of Egypt. Moses is the leader. No question about it. The Lord God said, as far as Moses, God said, I speak face to face with him. Amen. Now listen what the Bible says in Numbers chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. I'm going to stop right there. Aaron and Miriam, they were just looking for an excuse. Amen. Because look what the next verse says. Now the truth comes out in the next verse. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Miriam and Aaron had got together somehow or another and said, listen, I don't think God's just speaking by Moses. God, I think God's using us too. And he may have been. But Moses was the leader. Come on. So your feelings don't have anything to do with the Word of God. The Bible goes on to talk about in verse 9 through 11, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against him, and he departed, and the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow, and Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous, and Aaron said unto Moses, alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not this sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly, and wherein we have sinned. In other words, they realize when God come down, they realized they were wrong. Amen. It's kind of too late to realize you're wrong when God's judgment comes. That's why we have to be able to discern. Listen, our feelings get us in trouble. Amen. Our pride gets us in trouble. We kind of went over some of this, and I'm trying not to get ahead of myself because I got some things I want to close out with when I close out this sermon. But you know, if we ain't careful, we feel, well, I'll change the way I'm going with this. Mike got a hold of this last night. Somebody upsets me. Well, I feel like it's my right to be able to talk back. Somebody gets me mad. Well, guess what? What does the Bible say about it? I loved him to death, and he's in heaven right now, without a doubt, but Scoopy Miller was the worst in the worst. He would hurt people's feelings, and this is what he'd say. Well, that's just my personality. And I can't tell you how many times I told him, well, you need to change your personality. Your personality don't line up with the Word of God. And I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, folks, when your feelings don't line up with the Word of God, there's a big problem. You don't have enough discernment of the Scriptures to know how you're supposed to live your life. If something goes against the Word of God, it's of the devil. Amen. And I don't care if that's your feelings or whatever it is. So we need to be able to discern through the scriptures. Amen. We need to be able to discern about ourselves. Let me go ahead and tell you, I'm going to throw this at you one more time. You ain't all that. What do you mean, preacher? I thought I was doing pretty good. Well, the Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's talking to all of us. We need to be able to discern about self. Let me go ahead and tell you something. When Mike was speaking last night, Mike was just speaking from the heart. And Mike was speaking on how our attitudes sometimes don't line up like they ought to. Anybody, don't raise your hand, but anybody else in here like that? Now see, I know us guys are just terrible. But some of you ladies ain't angels either. We all need to check up our attitudes. There have been a lot of people fell out of church because of self. See, a lot of times the voice that's the loudest might not be Satan, it might be you. You've heard me say this for years. The one that I have the most problem with is the one that looks in that mirror back at me. I'm a whole lot worse on me than the devil ever was. Amen. I realize the devil is a liar, and I realize he's behind a whole lot of stuff. And you know, let me go ahead and tell you, Flip Wilson had it wrong back in the 70s. The devil did not make you do it.
That's right.
Amen. Now, some of y'all younger ones ain't going to have a clue what I'm talking about, but anybody in here over 60 years old, say amen right there. Y'all know who Flip Wilson was. If you don't know, look it up. But self, that's the discernment requires humility. And that's where that's why we have a big problem with self. We don't want no humility. It's all about me, preacher. It's all about me at my house. It ought to be all about me when I go to church. Well, guess what? It ain't.
Amen.
It ain't about us. It's all about him. Amen. So we need to be able to discern about self. My last point is this. We really need to be able to discern about Satan. The Bible tells us, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Let me go ahead and tell you something. Satan prefers subtlety over shock. And Satan ain't going to come down and jump all over Jackie with a pitchfork and a red suit and just, I'm the devil, I'm going to get you. Nope. What he's going to do is just kind of ease in here.
Amen on that.
Ease right here, you know. Just kind of talk soft. Can you believe that preacher's preaching that? You know you ain't been feeling good. You know it is about you. See, that's how the devil works. And we need to be able to discern that. Let me go ahead and tell you something. The person sitting on the other side of the church ain't your enemy.
Amen.
Amen. The person that you're married to ain't your enemy. The person you work with ain't your enemy. There's somebody working through that. And his name is Satan, amen? The Bible tells us that Satan, Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, we went over this in the Bible Institute the other night. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Let me break it down so we can understand it. What the devil was saying, why did God tell you couldn't eat of all the trees? God's holding something back from you. God don't want you to be happy. If he wanted you to be happy, he'd have told you to eat from all the trees. In reality, there were more trees than they could eat of, that they had more than they could eat of, and God gave them one thing. the tree in the middle. And I mentioned this the other day, other night in Bible Institute. What was she doing in the middle of the garden? Why was she out there by herself? She knew she was not supposed to eat of it, so why was she there? Let me go ahead and tell you something. If you got a problem with that person you're working with, don't go by their desk. And it's like I told somebody one time, I said, "Preacher, I have a problem with drinking beer. What should I do?" I said, don't drive by the bar. That's how the devil operates. That's how the devil gets in. See, the devil mixes truth with lies. Now I'm going to go through some, and we went through this in the Bible Institute the other night. I'm going to go through some steps to sin. Number one, being confronted with suggestive or enticing thoughts. In verse 1, now the subject was more subtle than any beast of the field that the Lord God had made. And he said, "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree," being confronted with suggestive or enticing thoughts. That's how it starts. I said this years ago, the body won't go nowhere that the mind ain't already been.
Amen.
Now the devil keeps on that. Now you start entertaining those thoughts. Verse 2, and the woman said unto the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden." See, now she's talking to him. Why are you talking to Satan? If we know it's the enemy, don't talk to him. Rebuke him. Rebuke him. Even Gabriel and Michael, the archangel, when they were fighting over the body of Moses, he said, "The Lord rebuke you." Quit trying to converse with the enemy. Now you start doubting the consequences of God's word. Verse 3, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, "Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." She added to the word, so now she's questioning God's word. Well, the Lord really didn't mean that for me. No, he wrote that Bible all 2,000 years ago, and he meant it for everybody on this whole earth besides you. There ain't no asterisk in the Bible that says this ain't for Larry. There ain't no asterisk in the Bible that says this ain't for Jackie. It's for all of us. See, we start doubting the consequences of the word of God. She added to, amen. Now, number 4, she starts thinking that this is going to make me better or this is going to fulfill me. That's how a lot of affairs happen. Well, I can do better than what I got. No, you can't. This is what I need. This is going to make me better. Genesis chapter, look at verse 4 and 5. And the serpent said unto the woman, "Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." This is going to make you like God. This is, don't you want to have this thing? You need this just to be great. You need this. And see, that's how the devil starts easing in. And then our minds start going there. The next step was looking and desiring, lusting. Verse 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise. You know, that does look good. Brother Ralph, I can just see her in the midst of that garden looking at this tree and then looking at that tree over there. Well, this fruit looks as good, if not better, than that fruit does. And it looks a whole lot better than that fruit over there. You see how Satan does? If Satan would have come down with a pitchfork, with flames all over it, she'd have never listened to him. But she did. Next step is committing the sin. She took of the fruit thereof, and did eat. Now look at this last thing. And I never thought about this until we was going through the Bible Institute. Leading others to sin like we do. The Bible says she gave it to Adam and Adam ate it. She sinned first. Ain't it amazing how when we start doing some stupid stuff, we want everybody else to do stupid stuff? Every time I've ever, especially before I got saved, I mean, if I was going to go out, I didn't want to go out by myself. That ain't no fun. You don't get a crowd. And if we ain't careful, that's how we do when we're in church. Well, the devil's done jumped all over Jackie and eased in with Jackie, and Jackie gets upset because Larry didn't shake his hand, and Jackie going out and he tells Bird, he said, can you believe Larry didn't shake my hand? So now he wants Bird involved. And if you ain't careful, then Bird's going to turn around and miss Barbara. I can't believe them people over there. You see, now it's gone from one person to getting everybody else involved. And that's just how the devil works. And that's just how the devil destroys families. And that's just how the devil destroys churches. And that's just how the devil will destroy you. We need to be discerning the strategies of the devil. Because like I said, we kind of got into it last night. Let me tell you, Mike is not my enemy. And I was talking to the guys last night, and I said, I realize that man loves me. That man loves me. And if me and Mike are talking, and Mike says something that don't strike me just right, my first mindset ought to be, well, Mike's my friend. Mike loves me. Mike didn't mean it to hurt me, but no, that ain't how we do. That ain't how we do. I'm just going to be honest with you. They don't nobody love me as much as my wife loves me. And we've all heard the thing about husbands and wives. It ain't what you say, it's how you said it. Amen. Y'all better shake y'all's head. I'll preach another hour and a half. It ain't what you said, it's how you said it. And the guy, listen, my wife loves me. My wife wants the very best for me. My wife wants me to be the best pastor and the best preacher and the best husband and the best granddaddy that I can be. So why in the world do I get upset with her about stupid stuff? That's the strategy of Satan, working just like he did with Eve. And if we ain't careful, folks, we'll fall right into it. Discernment comes from the Word of God. Let me tell you something. The more you in church, the more you in the Word, that's where you get discernment. Discernment also comes from being sensitive to the Spirit and being honest about self. Let me ask you a question. How many situations have we come in contact with over the last few months or years that we really didn't discern it like we needed to? And we really didn't treat it like we needed to. I want you to bow your heads with us without any music.